The Hoopheads Podcast is brought to you by Head Start Basketball. Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads Podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel. Today we're going to be discussing the reasons why we feel youth players should play more short-sided basketball games, meaning 2-on-2, 3-on-3, 1-on-1, 4-on-4, and not nearly as much 5-on-5 as they do. And Jason, we're going to jump right into it with reason number one, which is more touches on the ball. And when you play 3-on-3 or you play 1-on-1 or you play 2-on-2, you're much more likely to have the ball in your hands for a lot longer period of time than you do when you play 5-on-5. And it just stands to reason that the more you have the ball, the more opportunities you get to do things, the more improvement you're going to see when it comes to your basketball skills.
I completely agree. And the thing I see is a lot of times when I run practice, I try to do these 3-on-3 drills and 4-on-4 drills because it also teaches situational things like fast break opportunities in full court games. And, you know, the half court games really kind of lead themselves. And really more than anything, it allows for the kids to see how to work together. And, you know, when you have the 5-on-5 situation, there's so many people that have to share one basketball. And it's really, really hard for them to do that playing 5-on-5 straight out the gate, whereas 3-on-3, they can hone their craft more.
I think you make a great point there with talking about running a practice as a coach. There's a huge trend right now in basketball coaching circles of using game-based practices where instead of doing a drill where you have six or seven kids in a line going over and doing the same movement or skill over and over again repeatedly, instead you create a small-sided game that works on the particular skill that you're trying to develop in your players. And then you add in the element of having to make decisions just like it would be in a regular basketball game, as opposed to, you know, just going through and you're in a line and you know you're going to make a left or right crossover and then shoot a layup. Instead, you can create a small-sided game that works on developing that same skill, like maybe the player has to start out by making that particular move, and then you just go into some 3-on-3 live action with an offense against a defense. And it just creates those opportunities to make decisions, which is really the key to becoming a good basketball player is developing your decision making as a youth player.
I completely agree, and I've run practices where I'll pull the 4-on-4 or 3-on-3 situation, and I'll tell the defense this is how I want you to set up on this possession, and then the next possession I want you to do something completely different. So kind of doesn't necessarily make the kids do the same skill every single time, but they have to kind of adjust to it on the fly like they would in a game. And I think that's really beneficial for them, and focusing only on it being half court, because I think a lot of times these kids are really focusing on the run and gun aspect, and they're not really focusing on, well, if I can score in the half court too, you know, that's just as effective if we do it the right way.
Right, and I mean, a short-sided game gives kids, again, more opportunities, more touches on the ball. And when you have more touches on the ball, you're just much more likely to be able to improve. And just as a simple example, I'll take my son, who's on the taller side of the situation, and he ends up a lot of times playing inside when we play in our games. And when you're not a guard in a 5-on-5 situation, especially at the youth level, there's a lot of times where my son just doesn't touch the ball very often in a 5-on-5. And then last summer, we played in a 3-on-3 league. And in that 3-on-3 league, everybody's involved in the play. And he got a chance to handle the ball on the outside and work on his skills away from the basket. And just, again, got the ball so much more. And it's just so much more fun for kids when they're getting the ball and they get an opportunity to do things. So a kid can catch the ball, square up on the perimeter, and attack the defense, and then have to make a pass when there's help side defender comes over. So there's just so many more opportunities in a small-sided game for kids to be able to touch the ball. I think one of the things that kids don't do nearly as much as they did certainly when I was a kid, is just play one-on-one. I can remember times in the driveway playing with my friends where we'd play one-on-one up to 100. And obviously when you're playing one-on-one, you're maximizing your touches because there's nobody else to pass the ball to. So you're getting just opportunities over and over again to work on driving to the basket or making a one-on-one move or shooting over the top of a defender. And I think those things are invaluable when it comes to small sided games as compared to the 5-on-5 game that we see played by adults. And I think kids just need to play more short sided games so they get more touches.
I completely agree, especially with the anecdote about like playing in your driveway. I walk around the neighborhood with my kids all the time. I don't see people out playing basketball like when I was a kid. Steve Frame, who used to coach at Head Start a lot, we would play every day in the summer. We literally would go, you know, 3 hours every day playing 1-on-1 or getting some other friends and doing 2-on-2. I never see that anymore. We talk because our camps are at Strongsville Rec this year. We see some really terrible games going on up at the rec center, and that's not how it was when I was a kid. We were playing solid 2-on-2 games, and we were working on things and playing the half-court games, and I think that's really important.
Yeah, you just get, again, you get those touches on the ball, and that's the only way to get better. Like, you can run up and down the court all you want, but if you're not seeing the ball, you're really not getting better and improving your skills. So I think it's critical for, again, coaches to give kids the opportunity to play those small-sided games and for players to seek out those small-sided games with kids in their neighborhood or whatever the case may be. Let's move on, Jason. Go ahead and share number two.
Perfect kind of transition here is another benefit is to kind of eliminate the running up and down the court and kind of going back to what I just talked about. A lot of times when the kids are just running up and down the court, there is no order to it. It's just pure chaos, and that's not going to benefit a kid learning how to play basketball or learning how to play with each other and learning to play as a team. It kind of just becomes a big mess, and there's no benefit to it because they're not working on passing and dribbling. It's just chaos, and it doesn't work very well.
Yeah, I think one of the things that when I was going through and thinking about this particular list and why we wanted to share the importance of small-sided games, the younger the kids are, I think the more it makes sense to have them playing half-court games. If you've gone, all three of my kids have played rec basketball when they were in kindergarten and first grade. And when those games are being played full court, you know, nothing good really happens between the two free throw lines. It's basically just kids running and chucking the ball all over the place and, you know, turnovers and forgetting to dribble and whatever the case may be. And so all that time that's spent running back and forth, especially if they're playing on, you know, a court that's close to regulation size, you know, they're spending a lot of time running, which is great exercise, but it's not really improving their basketball skills. And if you had them playing 2-on-2 or 3-on-3 where they're not spending all that time running between the foul lines, and instead they actually have the ball in their hands. And I just think that the half court, it would be so much more beneficial if we could get youth basketball, program directors to start with half court games up until, and again, I could make an argument that kids probably shouldn't be playing full court up until fifth or sixth grade. The skill development would be much quicker and much faster if kids were playing more half court and less full court games.
And I think going along with that, something else we've talked about before is a lot of these leagues, and I think there are some that are better than others, but a lot of these leagues are having the kids not only play full court, but play on full 10-foot size hoops. And I know we've talked, and we have instances where we've been able to lower the baskets for the kids that are younger, but you've got these kids trying to play on 10-foot hoops. It's like these kids can barely throw the ball up that high. It's ridiculous that organization is saying, oh, let's throw them to the, like, throw them into this and make them shoot on 10-foot hoops. I think it's so crazy that you're having first, second, and third graders even and there are kids that can shoot. I get it. But I think, and maybe you'll disagree with me, you have more experience, but I probably would say there's less than 50% of those kids can even get it to a 10-foot hoop. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge proponent of having lower baskets. The issue oftentimes, and you know, I run into this with camps, is you're in a facility where it's just not possible to adjust the baskets. And really, you'd have to change the mindset of the construction teams and architects and school board members that build facilities. And really, in an elementary school, there's no reason to have a 10-foot basket in an elementary school. You should be able to have, at worst, adjustable baskets. And really, you could probably set all the baskets at 8 feet. One of the things that I have conversations with parents about all the time is what's the correct height for a basket. And I just go back to my own my own childhood, and I kept the basket. Well, I shouldn't say I did, but my dad kept the basket low. I mean, I wasn't even playing on a 10-foot basket on my driveway probably till I was in 8th or 9th grade. Even in 6th, 7th grade, my basket was at, you know, 9 feet, 9.5 feet. And it started out much, much lower than that when I was younger. And my dad's philosophy, and it's one that, you know, I believe in, is that kids learn to shoot the ball correctly with good form when they're shooting on the correct size basket. So I think that's a critical point in the development. Of course, it doesn't directly relate to small-sided games, but it's certainly a point that youth basketball coaches and parents and administrators should be aware of. The more often you can provide that lower basket, the better off you're going to be. And then, again, just summarizing here, number two was the elimination of that time running up and down the court. You want to get the kids playing half court where there's just more opportunities for them to have the ball as opposed to just going out jogging. So let's move on to number three. Number three is less congestion on the court. And so I know one of the challenges when you're playing a five-on-five game, especially with young kids, is the kid will make an initial move, and maybe they get by their first defender, and then suddenly there's four other people who are standing there in the key in their way. And kids at the elementary level and even in the middle school are not always capable of making a secondary move and getting around the next person or threading the needle with a pass past six defenders' arms. And when you play 3-on-3 or you play 2-on-2, there's just simply less congestion on the court. So maybe if I beat my first defender, there isn't somebody there to help. Or there is somebody there, comes over to help. Now I only have to drop off a pass past one defender. And so just the fact that there's less congestion on the court allows players to play with more freedom and allows them to also to experiment and learn to make mistakes. And I think that that's one of the things that's sort of been lost in the 5-on-5 AAU travel ball culture, is the fact that we oftentimes forget that where kids learn to be creative and be the kinds of players that are dynamic is through that pickup play of 2-on-2 or 1-on-1 or 3-on-3, where they learn decision making and they take chances and they're not being coached by an adult on the sideline, and there aren't referees and parents aren't watching, and they're more free to experiment. And when you have less players on the court, it just makes it easier for players to experiment.
And to your point about the kids don't know what decisions to make when they drive to the middle lane, we've got the 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th graders at our camp this week, and they're just driving. There's a few kids I've seen just drive to the middle lane, three defenders collapse on them. They have no clue what to do with the ball. So really playing these short-sided games, allow them to learn how to pass, cut, move without the basketball, just because there's so much more room. And I look at even my own personal experience right now. I play in a league in the fall and the spring. It's a 4-on-4 league for adults. And I have to say, I like 4-on-4 more than I do 5-on-5 at this point in my life. I'll play 5-on-5. I play in a 5-on-5 league in the summer, but I thoroughly enjoy playing 4-on-4. There's way more space. There's a lot more movement. And like we've said, there are less people to pass the ball to, and I really enjoy it. So I think that a lot of times the kids playing these short-sided games with 3-on-3, 2-on-2, I mean, learning how to pass and cut the ball without the ball is so beneficial. And it's not only just on the offensive end. I think on the defensive end, it can be beneficial too there, because kids can learn how they have to mirror their guys, but also at the same time they can help defense and do things like that, even with it being 3-on-3. You still have to learn those basic fundamentals, and I think it's really important that, I know we've talked a lot about the offensive end, but the defensive end is also really important.
I agree. I think there's two points that I can piggyback off what you just said. One is that from an offensive standpoint, when you have the ball, there's only two teammates to keep track of. And conversely, the same thing holds true on defense. If I'm guarding the ball, okay, I'm an on-ball defender. If I'm one of the other two guys, maybe I'm one pass away and I'm denying, but more than likely I'm a help defender. And so I only have to read five other players on the court, as opposed to in a 5-on-5 game, I'm forced to read 9 other players on the court, which is fine if I'm an experienced high school varsity basketball player, but it's not fine if I'm a fourth grade basketball player with relatively little experience. And so I think kids just, again, by condensing the quote-unquote adult game of 5-on-5 basketball down to a 3-on-3 situation. You're just giving kids, you're simplifying their decision making, and yet you're giving them more opportunities to make those decisions. And I think that's really what you're looking in, what you're looking to do by playing these small-sided games, is just allow kids to make game-like decisions that eventually, as they move on through the different levels of basketball, are going to translate really well and help them to be better players in the long run.
Perfect. All right, so we'll move on to the next and the final reason to play short-sided games. And this is a point of contention that we've talked about, I think, two or three times already this week and throughout, I mean, other conversations, is the fact that there's no zone defense. And as a middle school basketball coach, there's nothing more frustrating to me than watching a team play zone defense, because zone defense, A, doesn't, in my opinion, doesn't really teach the kids how to play the proper defense. You know, zone defense had its place in time, and I don't think, obviously, now, you know, there's the NBA doesn't really allow zone defense and things like that. But more importantly, in the youth game, I think it really teaches kids to be more lazy on the defensive end. But also, I think that it doesn't really help the offense. It makes the offensive players just jack up shots, which I know the intent is to win the game, so maybe you want the team to jack up ridiculous shots. But my personal opinion, you know, zone defense is not an effective way to develop a player and make them a better player. And I think that the short-sided game kind of eliminates that, because obviously you're playing 3-on-3. You're not probably going to play that with a zone. You're going to play man-to-man. And like we said, learn about playing help defense, doing like ball you man, things like that. I think that's really important with the short-sided game. It kind of eliminates the possibility of zone defense.
Yes, zone defense is terrible for youth basketball players, and it's terrible for a couple reasons. Number one, the first reason why it's terrible for youth basketball players is because it teaches terrible habits. And if you've ever watched a youth team play zone, they're not really playing an active zone like you might see from the Syracuse Orange Men and Coach Jim Boeheim. You're basically seeing five kids standing there with their arms up in the air, and usually that's what the coach is yelling, you know, hands up, and they just all kind of turn and watch the ball, and they're not really learning how to play help defense. They're not learning how to guard the ball. They're not learning how to move their feet. They're not learning how to anticipate and guard screens and cuts, and they're just standing in one place. And so you're taking away the development of those players as defensive players. Certainly, there's no high school coach I've ever been aware of that would want their youth teams playing a zone defense and being taught how to just stand there with their arms up. They want kids who can play. And even if the coach, as a high school coach, plays a zone, zones that are played well are based off of man-to-man principles. And if a kid doesn't know and understand those man-to-man principles, they're going to be a lot of trouble when it comes to playing at a higher level of basketball. And then the second thing that people oftentimes overlook is when one team plays a zone, the other team, the team that's on offense, gets cheated too. Because now, like you said, what does that zone force a team to do? Most youth players are not, A, strong enough to throw a skip pass across the top of a zone defense or throw a diagonal pass if their team is running like a 1-3-1 half-court trap. And so, consequently, you can't throw the passes that you really need to be able to beat a zone. And then number two, kids aren't strong enough to penetrate into the key and be guarded by two players and then make a good decision and make a pass to the next open person like a high school player might be able to do. And so you have those two issues. And then the last issue is what might be considered a good shot against a zone for, again, a high school team. So let's say it's a wide open 16-footer after the ball has been reversed. That might be a good shot for a high school team, but for a fourth grade team, it's a terrible shot. You know, a fourth grader, even an unopened 16-footer, is going to make 1 or 2 out of 10. And so the defense has accomplished what they want to, but not only have they cheated themselves out of becoming better defensive players, but they've also cheated the other team out of the opportunity to develop their skills. And so zone is just all around just a bad deal, and playing in a small-sided game, especially 3-on-3 or 2-on-2 or 1-on-1, eliminates the ability of the defense to play a zone. And so therefore you're developing those man-to-man defensive skills and decision-making and understanding guarding the ball and help side and how to get in position and deny a cut and fight over a screen or switch a screen or whatever the case may be. Small-sided games eliminate that possibility. So it's good for the development of players both on the defensive end by the team that's playing man-to-man defense. It also helps the players on the other team develop because they're forced to go against a man-to-man defense and make the same kinds of decisions. I can sum it up here in basically two words, and that is more fun. When you play small-sided games, kids just have more fun, especially the younger they are. The less important it is to them to run up and down the court, and the more important it is for them to just get touches on the ball. I really think that players at all levels can benefit from playing more small-sided one-on-one, two-on-two, three-on-three games. And we just don't do it enough. Coaches don't do it enough. Kids don't go out and do it themselves enough. And I think if we could somehow instill in the basketball culture a need for those small-sided games, Jason, I think we'd be much better. I think we'd be in a much better place.
I completely agree. And, I don't know that there is an easy way to fix that, but anyone that's listening to this or, try to instill it in coaches, or if you're going to be a coach and you want to try it in practice, you're going to see huge dividends. I know I did when I saw it this year when I did those things when I was running 3-on-3 half court, 4-on-4 half court, teaching situational awareness and kind of doing things like that. I was able to work on the skills, but at the same time work on other things at the same time too. So I think that's really important to try and get that to go through the culture. I don't necessarily know that there's an easy fix for it and that it's going to get done very easily, but all you can do is try and see if it'll work.
I agree. Last thing to go along with the point that you just made, and that is that if you're a coach, or again, if you're a player and you're going out to, as a coach, develop a practice plan, or as a player to develop your workout strategy or your workout plan of what you're going to do, what you need to keep in mind is that the more similar your practices are to the actual game, the better the skills that you're practicing are going to translate when you're actually playing in a real live game situation. So sure, I can set up a cone and have you do a crossover dribble and shoot a layup, and that does help develop your skills, and it does help.
There's no cones in a game.
Correct, but there's no cones in a game. The cone is going to be a live person that's going to be trying to stop you from getting around them. And so the more you can make your practices and your workouts look like the actual game, the better the transfer will be of the learning that you do in practice. And I think that's something that small-sided games do much, much better than block practice, where you're just in line doing the same skill over and over again, where you've eliminated the decision-making process. After two or three times, I'm guessing most players just kind of put that on autopilot and they go ahead and they do it, and they're not really thinking and they're not really having to make those decisions. So I think, again, small-sided games, more fun, more touches of the ball, eliminate the time running up and down the floor. There's less congestion on the floor, which leads to more opportunities to make decisions, and you eliminate zone defense. So hopefully, like you just said earlier, Jason, coaches out there, try to use a games-based approach to your practices as much as possible. Use these small-sided games to teach the skills that you want to be taught to your players. And then players, try to find out and seek out games of two-on-two, games of one-on-one, games of three-on-three, where you get an opportunity to have the ball instead of always just running up and down the court in a five-on-five game. Anything else to add, Jason?
No. Great job. Couldn't have said it better myself.
All right. Fantastic. Thanks, everybody, for listening to this edition of the Hoopheads Podcast, and we'll be back with you very, very soon. Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads Podcast, brought to you by Head Start Basketball.